This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to go around the AFC North. Remember, all guests appear on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And we have three of them. And it starts with Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, where the Ravens can kill the Bengals' season this Sunday. Do you feel that way? Do you feel the Ravens can put them to sleep?
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I said on our show, me and Vinny, on Monday morning, that if they beat Cincinnati, it'll be the impetus for them running away with the AFC North. And then I started looking at the schedule a little more closely, and then I'm thinking, Washington game's not going to be as easy as we thought. Winning in Tampa is nothing easy. Well, Denver did it. And then going to see you guys in Cleveland, then Denver, and then Cincinnati again. But to your point, yeah, they'll finish off the Bengals, but not necessarily run away and hide from the North just yet. They will eventually, just not in October.
Now that you got to see vintage Derrick Henry, he had the 87-yard touchdown scamper, had just a yard shy of 200 yards. Is it making people start to think differently about the ceiling of the Baltimore Ravens?
Sure, because I think the last 2 weeks against Dallas and against Buffalo, we're seeing what the true, air quotes, identity of the offense is. Lamar threw 15 passes against the Cowboys, only 18 against Buffalo. Quarterback rating was over 130 in both of them as he was efficient in those limited pass attempts. But Derrick Henry getting the ball over 20 times, Justice Hill is a nice complimentary back. I think what you've seen the last 2 weeks from this Ravens offense is what they're trying to be. Question around here is, all right, what if they're down 17 points? Then what are you going to do?
What'd they do to stop Josh Allen?
I think they put pressure on him. I mean, they were getting him out of the pocket, took away the running game. James Cook really didn't have much of a day. I thought the front seven was outstanding in that performance. Look, Josh Allen's a stud. I mean, he made the throw, falling out of bounds, throws it 40 yards across his body to Shakur, but I think they got him off his mark. They limited his running opportunities because he's like Lamar Jackson. He can beat you with his arm and with his legs. They just had him a little bit out of sorts, and you know the Ravens dominated them offensively, so he was kind of out of the game. You know, then the flea flicker that was the turnover, that was kind of the questionable call, but the kind of the game sealer for the Ravens.
Well, you get off to that slow start, obviously, but two very winnable games, and now the bounce back, and Buffalo is 3-0. When we do our, each and every week, our seven in heaven. I had Baltimore at number two, just based on that ceiling. I mean, in reality, I mean, what they just showed, that was better than anything Kansas City has shown this year. Is it a Super Bowl or bust still mentality there in Baltimore?
No, absolutely. I mean, because they've been to the championship game. They've been to the playoffs for pretty much the entirety of Lamar's career. The only time they missed was when he got hurt in 2021. If they don't win the Super Bowl or at least get to it, it's going to be a frustrating end to the season, much like we're seeing with the Orioles possibly as soon as today.
Devontae Adams, are they interested?
I was watching NFL Network, and one of the expert types said the Baltimore could be a team interested. But again, they've thrown 33 passes the last two games. Mark Andrews has 9 targets for the season. After the big opening day, Isaiah Likely's had 5 or 6. Zay Flowers had 3. So you need him for what? I mean, there's still going to be a running team, and is he going to come in here and be frustrated with the lack of targets and the fact that he'll be more of a blocker than he will be a big play receiver?
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as the Ravens get set to take on the Bengals, and they will be at Cincinnati on Sunday at 1 o'clock. And in the host city, we welcome in Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Mo, season on the line on Sunday, eh?
Has to be, yeah. The difference between 2-3 and 1-4 for the Bengals is massive. At 2-3, you've got consecutive wins, a head-to-head victory over the Baltimore Ravens. At 1-4, boy, then you're going to have to go like 9-3 the rest of the way just to get to 10 victories. With this defense, I don't think that can happen. Yes, season very much on the line on Sunday.
Why is the pass rush not good?
They don't have enough good pass rushers. They don't have enough good, healthy pass rushers. You know, Trey Hendrickson, for the most part, has been really, really good. He suffered a neck stinger on Sunday, had to come out of the game. Beyond that, Miles Murphy, who they drafted in the first round in 2023, hasn't played a snap yet. Joseph Osai has been a disappointment. Sheldon Rankins, who they acquired to give them more of a pass rush up the middle, when he has played, hasn't been very good. Didn't play against Carolina last week. They don't have enough guys who can go and get after the quarterback, and they don't have a defensive coordinator who really likes to send a lot of guys. They've blitzed maybe a fifth of the time so far this season, so I don't know that that's going to change. I think they're very much dealing with a team that, if they're going to be relevant in December and January, is almost going to have to win in spite of their defense and in spite of a lack of pass rush.
So Ja'Marr Chase had that insane 63-yard touchdown catch, the yards after the catch. I mean, it looked like the Ja'Marr Chase that people in Cincinnati thought could be the best wide receiver in football. But other than that, he only had two catches. Is there something off right now between Burrow and Chase?
Well, if you look at the box score, I would say no, because they scored a bunch of points. They have 77 points over the last two games, 8 touchdowns. They have a multitude of weapons. You know, Zach Taylor has talked for a while about, we want to have multiplicity. They run the ball effectively, 4.5 yards a carry last week. They've got good tight ends, a pretty deep wide receiver core. But if you watch the game, you know, Joe's one mistake in that game came on a miscommunication with Ja'Marr Chase. He throws in an interception. And so you would think if there are two players on the team who are not going to have any miscommunication issues, it would be Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They've played fine, but yeah, I mean, it hasn't been vintage Ja'Marr Chase. And when you, I guess, when you see some of the mistakes we saw last week, you see the miscommunication between those two players, you wonder, A, what's up, and B, if whatever's up is going to be rectified soon.
Mo Egger with us, giving us the perspective from Cincinnati. So much of the conversation about dealing with a salary cap up here in Cleveland is the benefit of having an owner who will spend nonstop and put together some of the most expensive rosters in NFL history. In Cincinnati, is there talk a lot down there about payroll, about ownership, locking up guys long-term, and do you think that can permeate in a locker room?
Well, I think it can permeate in a locker room. And look, I mean, the Bengals' reputation is pretty well-established. I think within that, though, they've got a track record of paying the players, their best players who play the positions they value the most. I think the question is, should they readjust what they value, right? Like, they've paid in the past A.J. Green and Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap, and I mean, heck, Joe Burrow got a $270 million contract. They value the players who play those positions. What they don't necessarily value as much are safeties, which is why Jesse Bates is now...
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Playing and playing well for the Atlanta Falcons. And since he left, that position has been a problem. What they value is their way of doing things, which is, we'll give you a contract extension. We're not going to do it before you have 1 year remaining on your deal, which is why Ja'Marr Chase didn't get his deal this season. I think he can impact the team. But I also think this is kind of a byproduct of having good players, right? The Bengals were paying their absolute best guys when they didn't have that many of them. Now they've got players worth investing in, worth keeping. You're not going to be able to keep them all. They've also never been in this situation with a quarterback occupying this significant a chunk of the team's payroll. When Andy Dalton was the 22nd highest paid quarterback in the sport, a lot easier to pay all of his teammates. A little bit different when you have Joe Burrow making the kind of coin he is.
The outstanding Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as the Bengals get set to host the Ravens. We now go to Pittsburgh. 93.7 The Fan Zone. Chris Muller joins us as the Steelers get set to host Dallas. 8:20 Sunday night. Devontae Adams, yes or no?
No. No.
Why?
No. Because he's going to want a restructure, because none of his money's guaranteed after this year. Like, I love the player. The player's really, really good still. He is at an age when most wide receivers start to slide down the cliff a little bit here. Like, Julio Jones was around this age when it just kind of fell off the table for him. But the guy has no guaranteed money left after this year. So, like, I think one of the things that's underreported about that whole situation is he's going to want new money. He's going to want a new contract whenever he actually gets traded. Like, there's going to want to be assurances there. I don't like the contract situation. I don't like the age of the player there. If you could just tell me that he was available for a late-round pick as a strict rental this year, and then you dump him off, eat whatever dead money you'd have to eat, and go for it, you know, go forward after that, sure. But that's not how it would work, and so I have to say no.
All right, Justin Fields, you could make the argument, played his best game of the season with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but at the same time, it was a loss, and in the fourth quarter, we're no stranger to this in Cleveland, but there was a snafu with a snap as he was apparently not expecting the football when it came, and it basically killed the drive. What'd you think of the Fields experience?
I mean, I'll be honest. I thought it was his best game, and one of the things we had all been collectively asking in Pittsburgh for the first three games was they were constantly playing from ahead. They were dictating terms to the first three teams they played, and he looked really good, I think, in that context and looked better each game. The Chargers game was his best. We all asked, though, is this guy going to blink if they get down by two scores in a game? Like, what's going to happen? Is he going to revert back to old Justin Fields? And, you know, he was part of the problem. I mean, the first snap of the game, they again had a center quarterback exchange problem where he got his foot stepped on. There was obviously what you just mentioned at the end of the game, which he took the blame for. He said, that's on me. I put my leg up. That means the ball can come out at any time. Like, I've got to be ready for it, which he did. I was super encouraged by what I saw. I mean, when they actually were in dire straits after he had an ugly fumble where he also took the blame and said, I got to get the ball out there, he ripped off three touchdown drives in a row. You guys want to know the last time they put up three touchdown drives in a row in one game?
When?
It was 2021, Ken. It's that lady in the Titanic meme. It's been 86 years since this team actually looked competent. I come away from it pretty encouraged. So do my dogs, apparently.
What's going on there? What is happening?
My wife just took our son to the bus stop, and she walked back in the door, and my dogs are dumb enough to think that, like, some intruder was coming in and not just my wife walking back in the house.
Looking to trade Russell Wilson?
Not yet. I don't think. Although, let me tell you this. This relates to, like, the Fields question and just the level of belief. Tomlin yesterday, it was the most that Mike Tomlin has ever, like, acknowledged that Justin Fields might be playing his way into just a Russell Wilson as Wally Pipp situation. I don't think they're looking to trade him yet. If you get, like, two more really good games out of Justin Fields, suddenly if the price got right because Miami got desperate enough, and my God, did you watch them? I mean, they should be desperate. That was horrifying, what Huntley did. Then maybe they would do it. But I would say it's, like, 80% no, 85% no. They'd have to be bowled over by an offer.
Do you believe in the start that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had?
I think so, yeah. I mean, this is the part of the schedule they're supposed to be winning football games.
So
I mean,
they're a playoff team to you?
Yeah. Right now, yes. Apparently, again, my dogs disagree with this assessment. But, yeah, I mean, here's what's worrisome to me. I don't know. This is frustrating to me. They should have beaten the Colts. They go in there. Your defense is supposed to be, like, what carries you. They get absolutely scorched. Shane Steichen absolutely has Tomlin's number. Then they finally knock Richardson out of the game. Like, maybe, okay, hey, we got a sitting duck back there. It's Joe Flacco. And he just comes in and takes out a Ginsu knife and just carves them up for, like, the majority of the game. That's frustrating. They still could get to the bye, like, 7-1, 6-2. And then we see what Justin Fields is really made of, assuming he's still their starting quarterback, which I think he will be by then, because that schedule stiffens badly for the last nine games. But yes, I would say like I'm 60% sure that they're a playoff team right now.
Is Paul Skeens more popular than any Steelers outside of TJ Watt right
now?
No, actually.
Where is he? Power rank him. Power rank the popular Pittsburgh Steelers. Chris, one moment as we queue up the power rank
power
music.
Rank him. Here we go.
Start at number one. Go.
Most popular Steelers or just Pittsburgh athletes?
Pittsburgh athletes.
Pittsburgh athletes. There you go.
Active athletes. Sidney Crosby, one. Probably TJ Watt, two. In a surprise, Pat Freiermuth somehow three.
Oh my God.
Just because people like saying Muth. Skeens is four. And, I can't even pick a fifth. Chris Boswell, number five.
Chris Boswell. Even he's laughing about that. Have you guys already begun the countdown to not being able to afford Paul Skeens?
Dude. Ken, I'm not. Genuinely not kidding about this.
Yeah,
that happened the day he made his major league debut. It's like, I don't know. Do you guys feel this? I guess like the Guardians have actually signed a couple of guys. Like the Pirates gave Brian Reynolds a 9-figure extension. That's fine. They gave Mitch Keller an extension. But like, I don't know if you guys had Paul Skeens up there. Don't you think fans would be feeling the same way?
We have so much money over here, Chris. Well, we pay a former leadoff hitter $5 million this year just to play in Columbus.
It's almost too much money.
It's falling out of our pockets.
Yeah. Got a money problem.
We have so much money up here, the owner's brother is running for Congress. Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys haven't just pooled all that money and just made a stadium appear in Brook Park out of nowhere.
Well, you never know what's going to come out of our sleeves. Keep an eye on us.
I mean, Livy Dunn is going to leave Pittsburgh for Cleveland where there's more money.
She, you know what? She probably likes Pittsburgh as much as he does because she is literally the most famous person in Pittsburgh when she's there. Like, she becomes the biggest star in the entire city because of, like, the TMZ effect. It's ridiculous.
But Travis Kelce's from here and Taylor Swift comes here.
Yeah.
She'll probably be here on December 15th.
Is he the guy behind that garage beer stuff, by the way?
Well, he's invested in it.
He's invested? Okay. Yeah. So it's he and Jason Kelce. Man, yeah. I don't like that stuff now as much as I used to.
Wow. Strong conversation from Chris. Tough talking Chris Mueller.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.